I'm Dave Anderson with the Forest Society.
And I'm Grace McCulloch with New Hampshire Audubon. And this is Something Wild. In a world with no shortage of bad news for the environment, it's refreshing to hear something hopeful. Today, we're talking to author and ornithologist Scott Wiedenthal. He's now a New Hampshire resident and has a new book called Return of the Oyster Catcher, Saving Birds to Save the Planet.
The book is about what's working for bird conservation, so bird conservation success stories. And there haven't been a lot of them in the shorebird world. As many of these species, their numbers are in pretty steep and accelerating decline. At a time when so much of the news about birds is grim, what I'm trying to do is highlight essentially roadmaps for recovery. And American oyster catchers are a really good example of that. We've seen about a 45% increase in oyster catcher populations.
Wow, 45%.
Yeah.
What exactly is an oyster catcher? What does it look like?
The American oyster catcher that's found on the Atlantic and Gulf Coast, it's black and white with sort of pinkish-orange legs and this bright orange, like traffic cone bill. They're brash, they're bold, they're loud, they have this really ringing cry. They are not a shy and retiring bird, let's put it that way.
So we've talked about birds are in decline. There's a statistic that says that North America has lost 3 billion birds since 1970. Were there any other conservation success stories that surprised even you while you were researching the book?
Waterfowl, like ducks and geese and swans, and other water birds like herons and egrets, and raptors. And, you know, Dave, I graduated high school in 1976, the bicentennial year. That year, there were fewer than 1,000 bald eagles in the entirety of the lower 48. If you had told me then that 50 years later, when we were celebrating the 250th birthday of the country, that there would be 400,000 bald eagles in the lower 48, that would have seemed delusional. And, I mean, a lot of species that, you know, because of DDT, were on the cusp. And so we've seen this sea change in our attitudes toward raptors.
It's like changing the hearts and minds of people is almost that first step.
Yeah, it really is.
So some of the conservation success stories in the book are happening right here in New England. Could you share with our listeners a little bit more about them and the role that New England plays in global conservation?
The ripples from a single conservation effort can spread all over the world. And I imagine many of your listeners are probably familiar with Project Puffin, which was a National Audubon Society project started by a fellow named Steve Kress. The toolbox that Steve and his colleagues at Project Puffin developed, that toolbox, they've used that on something like 138 species of imperiled seabirds all over the world. So what started on this little tiny desolate island off the coast of Maine is now, you know, those ripples have gone worldwide. And it's funny, I've talked to people using those techniques in other parts of the world who had no idea they started on the coast of New England.
Go New England.
Yeah.
What gives you hope and why should we all be hopeful?
We are in really difficult times right now, particularly at the federal policy level. We've seen an evisceration of science programs and conservation work that's being done by federal agencies. We've seen the Endangered Species Act just absolutely torn apart. But I guess part of the reason is that as we've seen, birds are more resilient than we give them credit for. And look, I mean, all they need is half a chance. Those of us who care about the environment can't give up, particularly now when the temptation to give up is so great. We just can't.
So what can people do in their everyday life?
A bunch of really simple things. One of the most important is if you have a cat, for the love of God, keep it in your house. Because cats kill 2 to 4 billion with a B birds in the United States every year. If you have windows that birds fly into, that's like another billion birds a year that die at window strikes. They're really simple things that you can put on your windows. You know, gardening and landscaping with native plants where you're reconnecting broken ecological connections. Really crazy one, if you're a coffee drinker, you have a choice between buying coffee that protects and enhances and restores bird habitat or one that destroys bird habitat. So cats, windows, native plants, coffee, those are four simple things that you can do to help birds.
Yeah, that anyone could do.
That anybody can do.
And I'd add one more, which is bring youth out to watch birds and learn about birds. I think all of us
Oh, yeah.
had some spark.
Yes.
Oh, well, Scott, it's really been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely.
And again, Scott Wiedenthal's book is Return of the Oyster Catcher, Saving Birds to Save the Planet.
Something Wild is a partnership of New Hampshire Audubon, the Forest Society, and NHPR.